B-Pod Studios.
Yo, Mike Missanelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike. Ready to rock,
yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, the Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Also live on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Welcome to the TV audience today. A couple things that I want to talk about today. Let's take the Sixers. I got a problem, Tyrone. They won the game. I get it. The numbers look good for Embiid. The numbers were great for Simmons. I thought he played well. That game irritated me to no end.
Really?
The game itself was a pig. And at this stage of the year, I don't want to see pig games. And here's what bothered me at the start. And I want to know if anybody was with me. This speaks to coaching and putting a message down that sometimes you have to do. This is what I would call the Popovich move. I watched the game and I started out watching Joel Embiid. And he had no interest in playing that game in the first 5 minutes of that game. None. He was lollygagging up and down the floor. He wasn't going for loose balls. Here's this. I got it right here, right in front of me. He had a double dribble turnover to start things. He then missed a lazy 8-foot shot. He then makes that stupid play where he showed no effort, no thought, and turns the ball over to Brandon Knight for the run out. At that point, and it was 9:49 when that happened, I had already watched now 3 minutes of his method. That he went out there last night thinking, this is the Cleveland Cavaliers, I don't have to play tonight. I thought the move that Brett Brown should have made was to take Embiid out of the game at that point for laziness. And as he came to the bench, say, all right, I'll tell you what. When you're ready to play, you tell me. And sometimes you got to put that message out there, Tyrone. And he didn't put that message out there for the guy last night. And that's one criticism I had of Brett Brown last night. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. I won the game. I don't want to sit here and bitch and moan, but I don't like the methodology now as we come down the home stretch with this team trying to play in sync and allowing stuff like that to happen.
And you think that he would have ended up having better numbers than the 19 rebounds he had if he did it your way?
See, you're looking at the numbers at the end where he came on strong. That's not my point. To set a tone, they struggled in that game.
Yes.
They struggled throughout the game. To set a tone that, okay, this team stinks and we're a 15-point favorite and we should win it by 15-plus, I got to do something here to light a spark. And the spark for me last night would have been Embiid was lollygagging those first 3 minutes of that game. I would have pulled him out right there, shockingly, to give him a message. And what would his reaction been? He would have been steamed. And when he came back in that game, just to show Brett Brown up, he would have played his butt off. And this is what the coach does not do at times when he should do it. Yeah, you know, I know you don't agree with it. You don't agree because they're pro players.
Yeah, I don't think it
would
work.
At the end, he got his rebounds and whatever. He got his numbers. That's just a disgraceful performance against that bad team.
Yeah, as a team, it absolutely was. I don't know.
So when did they start getting together as a team and start dispatching bad teams as they go down the home stretch for the playoffs?
There was the next bad team they played. I don't know. What's the next bad
it's
team?
It's time to get into a disciplinary rhythm where you don't stand for lollygagging. And they lollygagged their way through that game last night. And to me, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I agree with the team part. I don't know. I don't think your Embiid method would work.
Well, I don't know why it wouldn't work. You taking him out of the game first 3 minutes? Don't you think that makes him look bad?
No.
It does?
No.
I think it does. He taking me out of the game here. Sometimes you got, for your greater good, you got to tick a guy off. I guarantee you would have came in after that, 5 minutes later, sit him for five, boom, gangbusters.
Okay.
I cannot believe it. I can't believe it. I cannot believe that you're not with me on this.
I don't think it would work.
Did you watch the start of that game?
I did.
Did it tick you off?
Yeah, I was bothered by it. I was in the rocking chair about wins. Mm-hmm. I knew they were going to win the game. Mm-hmm. So the rocking chair took some of the steam away from it. I need to see him play well Sunday. If he plays well Sunday, and I need him to play well next Tuesday, if they beat the Bucks and they beat Boston, they're good. They're good. So I hear what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing. Sunday is the game.
I'm not evaluating Sunday for the time being. Right now, as we do the show, I'm evaluating what I saw last night. Okay? I'm not giving them a pass and say, well, wait till Sunday when they play a good team. I'm disputing right now the sink that they need to be in and the allowance for them to play that way against the Cleveland team. Because that, as a coach, that would have ticked me off.
I think the coach was equally lazy with some of the things he did if Embiid was lazy. Like, what's with the extended lineup of four bench players with Tobias Harris? I would never do that. So I think the players took the cue from the coach, not the other way around. That's how I read it. The coach was like, let's throw the ball out and win. And I think the players reacted that way. That's what I saw. Because it's not like he did things with a sense of urgency. That's what I saw.
I'm just telling you what I felt at the 9 minute mark after he lollygagged his way for those first 3 minutes with some lazy ass plays. I would have gone, okay, I'm out. Boba. And Biddy would have gone, huh? And I would have calmly gone down. When you're ready to play, tell me. When you're ready to play, tap me on the shoulder. I'm here. Boom, message.
You assume that tap's coming. Now go ahead and play Bolden in them, coach. You got it.
All right. Well, if that's what you want to say, I'm still going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers without you.
You sure?
But I'm going to put this message in. Yeah.
You know what? As a matter of fact, this tendonitis bothers me. I get it
because I know what you're saying.
I'm out Friday, too.
You can't bully pro players.
No.
But in that three-minute span, I would have said a ton and said, no. We are not going to play like this. You are the leader. You're playing like this. The rest of the team is going to follow that lead to play like that. So I got to send a message here. I got to do something. That's the way I would have done it last night. Now, most people, I don't know if you would have felt the same way, but I felt that way last night.
They agree with you. I'm sure.
They might not agree with me. I don't know. There was a really interesting discussion on the Midday Show about stars who are divas who can ruin a team. So you're either on the side of talent and putting up with the diva, or thinking you can win without the talent who just happens to be a diva. Now, I have always lined up on the side of talent. Now, Anthony was kind of had my philosophy. Jason saying that, look at the wide receivers and the winning wide receivers over the past 10 years in a Super Bowl, and they weren't superstars. But to me, you increase your chances to win by having the most talent. It's then the managed diva that is the skill in a coaching staff. So I would not rather have not talent who's not going to give me a hard time rather than talent who I'm hoping to control not giving me a hard time. Where do you see where the best way to win is?
It has to be talent. When I look at the Super Bowl, and I think this is now revisionist because of the Nicky Foles factor, 1 through 53, the Eagles were more talented than the Patriots were 1 through 53, and that's why the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Defensive line, for example, was really, really dominant. And you saw the big play when it mattered, even though the defense struggled. Brandon Graham with that strip sack. You saw the plays that Ertz made, Alshon made. They were talented when they won the Super Bowl, they happened to have the good chemistry because the coach did a nice job.
Yeah.
But 1 through 53, they were more talented than the Patriots
were. When it comes to Odell Beckham Jr., obviously you've got a diva on your hands that you have to manage. I mean, this is a guy who's beyond T.O., all right? But if you're going to ask me, would I want to have Odell Beckham Jr. on my team and take the shot and try to managing him? I go, yeah, and here's why. Because it's actually easier for me to win. I don't have to put as much effort into a game plan or coaching every play when I got a guy who can make plays for me. So that's where I always go with the talent part of it. And the other thing, you know, well, we got to have better chemistry, so I got to have a guy like Wes Welker, right? I'm not a subscriber to that. But I know there are people out there that will make that case, which makes it a very interesting discussion. So if you're on the side of talent but trouble or marginal talent, no trouble, what side are you on?
I like that. Now, real fast, Jeff Schwartz, who used to play with Odell, he says, and he was a teammate of him, now he works in the media. He says, I hope people don't think Odell is an actual distraction in the locker room because he proposed to a kicking net once. He's loved in the locker room, worked his butt off, I'm editing, keeps it loose in the locker room, clearly an excellent playmaker. If he was traded for being a distraction, yikes. He actually says he's actually nothing like T.O. in the locker room with the people, and he gets a bad rap, and he's not like T.O.
Okay, but
either way.
But he is a distraction on the field because he's always bitching and moaning.
Yes.
And he's gesturing making people look like making his quarterback look bad by going, stuff like that. So the theory that Jason had was if you don't have that, you have better chemistry to win. My theory is if you have that, you manage that because you certainly have a better chance to win with a more talented player.
It's always talent in every sport. If you get the most talented team and you don't win, it's either injuries or the coach isn't good. It's not because, the talent didn't mix. I mean, the coach coached badly. Talent is everything. Talent is everything.
All right. We will talk about those two topics. And today happens to be General Knowledge Wednesday. Now, this is what we have for you. This is pretty good. We have a pair of passes for our grand prize to the American Red Cross Red Ball. This is a fancy soiree. Philadelphia's premier party. It benefits the American Red Cross. It's at Lincoln Financial Field on Saturday, March 30th. I've been to the Red Ball. Features more than 30 restaurants, bars, microbreweries, live music and dancing, games, a sports-themed silent auction, and much more. And all funds raised support the Red Cross House, a center for families who suffered a disaster. Tickets and info at redcross.org/redballphilly. So this is a night you can take your significant other out, get all dressed up, get all sequined up, get all red tuxedoed up, and go to the Red Ball.
I like that.
All right, so the topics today are general knowledge, answers that contain fire, the word fire, the ultimate 20th century history quiz. I made it a little tougher today. And finally, everybody's sweetheart, except mine, Sandra Bullock movies.
Except yours?
I'm not a Sandra Bullock fan.
Huh?
She does nothing for me, Sandra Bullock.
What?
Yeah.
Nothing.
She's supposed to be some great beauty, Sandra Bullock.
She's an attractive woman.
I don't see it that way. I've never.
She's been an attractive beauty for 20.
She looked good in The Blind Side with the blonde hair.
Look, she's been attractive for 20-some years, man. She's aged wonderfully. She's talented.
Don't do anything for me. I'm sorry.
Sandra Bullock, nothing for you. I'm not. Forget favorite, Mike.
Zero.
This is what I mean.
Zero.
When you say things like this.
What? It's a matter of personal taste. She has nothing for me.
No. There's certain people that are universal. Her to be zero doesn't make sense. It's fine if she's not your favorite.
I'm not attracted to her at all.
I
never got to Sandra Bullock as a beauty role. I never got it.
Never?
No.
Not even her best angle, her best picture?
No.
Okay, Mike.
Never.
You know what? All right.
You happen to think the opposite, obviously. So does
the world.
So does Andrew.
Thinks the opposite.
I'll dig up some good ones for you.
Listen, man, there have been some of the great minds on earth have gone against the grain of the norm. So I got to tell you, Yeah. Andrew Bullock doesn't do it for him. He doesn't move the needle. 6'10", but her movies, I'm sure you've seen all her movies, right?
I believe I have.
I'm sure you have.
I'm not all of them.
You're a married man, so you would have seen more Sandra Bullock movies than I'd have.
I've seen a lot of them.
And Andrew, of course.
Engaged.
He's a girlfriend snuggler.
Nah, I think she's a bad actress, to be honest.
You think she's a bad actress?
Yeah. That's separate.
When we're talking looks.
But you've seen all her movies because you're a girlfriend snuggler.
No, I've seen The Blind Side, and that's about it.
Really?
I don't watch movies.
You saw Speed?
You didn't see Speed?
Oh, I saw Speed. That was a long time ago.
You saw Speed. Did you see Miss Congeniality? I watched that with my daughter. It was one of my daughter's favorite movies growing up.
When that come out, when I was like 10, I saw it.
Come on, man.
These are Miss Sandra Bullock movies. And here's the number to get in. 610-632-0975. Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin, Tension HVAC Contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, supplies for every heating and cooling job. It's time to start the Twitter poll. Andrew Satchunas has it. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention all landscapers looking to repower a zero-turn or walk-behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement, and they're in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com. For details. What is today's Twitter poll?
Michael, today's question is, what else will the Eagles do today in free agency? Mm-hmm. Big moves, small moves, stand pat. Small moves leads the way. 50% of the vote, stand pat at 27, and big moves at 23.
Well, this could be running back day for the Eagles. So we'll keep you abreast of the situation. It also could be the conclusion of the Aguilar situation, where the whispers are that they're going to keep him for that $9-plus million for this year.
Yeah,
which is kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, 4 p.m. We'll be on the air, obviously, when that hits, and we'll give it to you. And McManus will probably give us a preview of that, but he seems to think that they're just going to go big at wideout. And I guess if you're trying to help Carson as much as you can, you go big at wideout and give him as many weapons as you can.
And who would that be?
No, they're saying if you're going to get $11 million for Alshon, nine plus.
You were going to sign somebody else.
No, you're spending $28 million for just your top three.
Yes.
Let alone your tight end.
News that came down today, obviously, the Ravens got Earl Thomas and Mark Ingram. The Chargers signed Tyrod Taylor. So there's another potential backup quarterback that's down the drain. So it's looking more like they're going to sit on their hands with the quarterback, and maybe Nate the Great stays in there as the number two QB.
And then what, he'd draft a guy late and develop him like he did Sudfeld, I guess, in the sixth round.
Yeah. Now, one of the reasons I brought up the talent versus the team culture aspects is the Giants traded Odell Beckham Jr. to Cleveland Browns, and they have Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr., right? They got a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and Jabril Peppers, the safety. After they had just signed him to a big deal, right? So, the cap hit they take is significant.
$16 million.
Giants are just a mess right now. Andy Collins walks, and now it's the running back, and that's it. It's Saquon and bust,
and a 38-year-old quarterback. Why do you keep the quarterback if you're going to get rid of him? Either rebuild
Giants,
or
total
don't.
Mess, total mess. And also today, Nick Foles in a touching thank you to the city of Philadelphia and everybody he came in contact with here from Players Tribune. And we'll read a little of it a little later with, I don't know, we have any harp music? Do we get? Foley decides to go, see? No. We're just, it was really touching.
It's poignant, and we wanted to, when you hear it, you guys can't, you really want to stay tuned for it. Because it's poignant.
Here's a little excerpt. Because for as much of an honor it is to play for this team in this city, the truest privilege has been over the last year in the time we won the Super Bowl, having Eagle fans share their stories with me, having them remind me of how we just didn't win a Super Bowl. We won the Eagles' first Super Bowl ever. Getting to hear from Philly natives about how their father or their father's father or mother or mother's mother cried tears of happiness after the game. Learning about how, for most people, rooting for the Eagles is more than a decision. It's a birthright. It's family. Philadelphia, thank you for welcoming me into yours. You will forever be a part of mine. It's okay. Yeah.
For the radio people, Mike had to grab a little tissue.
Cause, big tissue.
Actually, yeah, a lot of tissue.
Big tissue.
Waterworks here on the Mike Missanelli show.
It sprung. I haven't cried like this since I watched City of Angels.
Oh, Lord.
Spend all your time waiting. All right, let's go to the phones. Talk to Spanky in Cobbs Creek. Spanky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Spank.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Spanky?
So I watched that game yesterday, too, Mike, and I was really disgusted, too. But I was more disgusted. Like I told you yesterday, the lack of discipline on this team is going to kill us, man. They had 14 turnovers before the halftime. That's ridiculous to that team. And then on top of that, like, I heard what you was talking about, Embiid. I kind of gave him a little more effort because he did grab 17. I think it was 17 rebounds, 19?
He 17,
like
had 17 rebounds against who?
Well, yeah, you're right.
The biggest guy they had in the whole game was 6'7".
Yeah, that's true. And then I was listening to the Outsider show, and they were saying that I heard them people was commenting that Embiid was looking lazy, and Tyrone and them said, you know, how could you be lazy if you grab?
Tyrone's been sticking up for him today. But Tyrone knows basketball. He just doesn't want to criticize his man at Joel, and I love Joel too. But that he did not set a good tone for that game last night.
But Mike, so but this is the problem with me. Brett Brown ain't going to get in these guys' faces. I ain't never seen him do it yet. And Pop, how can you be a stew in a Pop? I've seen Pop go off on the sideline to his players. I don't see Brett Brown doing that to none of these cats. And I think that's going to cost us in the playoffs. That's what I'm afraid of. Him being so chummy with these guys and not calling them to the carpet. Sometimes you've got to call them to
the
carpet.
Listen, I know they're pro players, Spanky. But last night, the way that game started, the way he came out, like lackluster, I would have sent a message there. I was like, all right, ho, we are not going to slog through this game. And you're leading the charge here, but with minimal effort. So when you're ready to play, you let me know. I'll get you right back in.
Exactly, Mike. And he said that before, I think, when they played Boston. That last time, he said something about his head when he wasn't in the game. He didn't wake up. You can't be doing that, man. Crush these cats when you can.
I got it, man. Last night, he was going against Jidic.
Mike, you're right.
Break, Jidic.
Sandra Bullock is blah. She's cute, but she's not. She's just blah. Like,
that's
okay.
Not true.
Tyrone likes her, man. I agree with you, Spanky. As an attractive woman, I don't really get it. I think she's a way overrated beauty. This is America's sweetheart, way overrated, the term.
1 to 10, Mike. Go ahead.
Huh?
On a 1 to 10, what is she, Mike?
She's average to me. She's a 6.5.
6.5. All right.
I mean, she's not unattractive.
So, Demolition Man.
I see why people like, because she's like the girl next door looking girl, but it just doesn't, there's no pizzazz to it.
And no credit for aging well, which is what I believe in. She was in Demolition Man. That was like, what, 91?
It's great that she
with Stallone, well. And look at her now. Holding up strong. So these fly-by-night girls.
Listen, man, it's subjective. Age. It's totally subjective, but you seem to get heated here. You're getting heated over this.
Because it's hard to believe. Like, you're a wine connoisseur, right? You went to wine school, right?
Why is it hard to believe?
You went to wine school, right, man?
Yes, I did.
You did. I prefer a woman who ages like wine. It seems like you prefer a woman who ages like milk.
No, it's not. It's not the aging part of it.
Expires quick. Some of these girls you like. You like them and then they're garbage later.
You don't even know who I like. Oh, yes, I go at one on a case-by-case basis is what I go with.
All right. Sandra
Bullock never moved my needle.
If she is between 5 foot five and 5 foot nine and blonde, you like her.
That is not true.
It is.
It is not true. There are plenty of different colored haired women that I find extremely attractive.
Okay.
Sandra Bullock is just average looking to me.
Oh, okay.
All right. And we have a Sandra Bullock category. So that's why we're talking about her today. All right. Let's go. Chris in Springfield. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Chris?
Not much, brother. The reason Tyrone was here is because you didn't say she was a six at the start. You just said zero. That, like, she's nothing, absolute zero. She's
I said I have zero attraction to her. I didn't call her a zero.
You have zero attraction is impossible. There's no way in the world you have zero attraction.
I don't have any attraction to Sandra Bullock. Now, do I think she's a pretty woman? For you know, obviously she's pretty, but she doesn't move my needle.
I actually agree with you there. I'm just
okay,
saying.
Okay, all right.
There's
yeah,
some,
no, I didn't call her a zero. She's obviously an attractive woman to some.
All right, two quick 6 points.
Yes.
What's going to kill us in the playoffs is we turn the ball over too much, and the biggest thing is we blow leads like no other. Our lead-blowing skills are 100%. That's what's going to get us in the playoffs. But secondly, though, can't Brett Brown make Ben Shannon shoot? Like, can't we run a play to where he has to shoot or tell him, like, hey, Ben, you got to shoot here?
No.
Why not?
Because that's not the way. Because he's not comfortable doing something. You don't force him to do something. You can't do that.
Do you think he's going to shoot at some point? Like,
not this year.
We're pretty late in his sex. So next, what if he doesn't do it next year?
Not this year.
We just give up and make him fall forward?
Here's my biggest fear. That he is so terrified to shoot it that he'll never do it. Like the longer, like it's like a callus. You know, it turns into a callus where you can never break through it. That's my biggest fear.
Doesn't that scare you?
But if you look at the foul line, he looks a lot smoother at the foul line these days, doesn't he?
He does, he does.
All right, so maybe there's hope for next year where he lets it fly.
Maybe. Listen, I'm rooting for the kid, but if he doesn't shoot by next year, he can't.
He was great last night. He didn't have to shoot last night at all, man. See, this is the thing when people look at Ben Simmons. Like, you didn't even notice his brilliance last night. And he took the ball 94 feet and beat everybody to the basket last night. And how many players can do that in the league?
Totally. My thing is, he'd be the best player in the league if he learned how to shoot. That's my problem.
All right, and hopefully that'll come. All right, you want a general knowledge question, bro?
Yeah.
In the Disney movie, what was the profession of the seven dwarfs?
What? I didn't know.
They had a profession. What was the profession of the seven dwarfs?
All right, you win. I have no idea.
Oh, man. Working all day mining. They had the pickaxes and all that stuff, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Hi-ho, it's off the work we go.
Right, they were miners. They had the tools over their shoulders.
Yeah. Always the one part. Why was Doc hanging with him? He was like a doctor, but he's mining? Well, why?
You had to do what you had to do.
Yeah, make a living, yeah.
You know?
Make a living.
Only a couple patients you had on the ledger.
There you go.
Go out and dig some rocks.
Wasting all that medical training.
What medical training did he have?
He's a doctor.
Who taught him to be a doctor?
We're reaching it later. But clearly before...
Some medicine man on a hill gave him some kind of hemlock.
You go, Doc.
That's good training. Yeah, he went to Hahnemann. He's got a Thomas and Broomall. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, Thomas?
Good. How about Kendall Jenner? Does she do anything for you?
Absolutely. Kendall Jenner's a beautiful woman.
I wanted to talk about our baseball team. I'm kind of shocked, you know, not a whole lot of action going on with any signings in baseball, I guess because of all the deals, one-year deal, and not a lot of...
What signing you want? You want that signing of the starting pitcher, don't you, Thomas?
Well, I mean, we have to. I think all our other positions are pretty...
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
No.
They're going to trust their peeps. That was delivered right to me by Matt Klentak. We owe it to those guys.
Yeah. I mean, like our 4 and 5s, you know, our 4 and 5s. I mean, I would assume that, you know, someone would, you know, go into the pen, maybe Vince or Zach. But, I mean, I guess we had the good enough offense that they should come out with, you know, eight. Well, we will see.
That could overcome. Better defense, better bullpen, better offense can overcome mediocre 4.5 starting pitchers from 3 to 5. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, the other one thing about the Sixers is Embiid. The one thing that kind of ticks me off a little bit is his, like, slow pump fake. Like, you know, when he has the ball, I know he doesn't like to shoot threes. But
you like that when he goes
really
up at the three-point line? You don't like that?
Yeah. What does that really do? That's
well, it gets the guy off balance. And he can dribble around him. That's what he gets. Yeah. That's the pump fake.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a good one. It's made famous
by the white man shooter.
Yeah, it's not JJ's, though. Maybe you can teach him up with that.
JJ does rarely, you know, he'll pump fake occasionally, but normally we had that dribble handoff, he gets clear look.
Yeah.
All right, man, general knowledge for you is answers contain fire. Fourth Harry Potter book. Come on, Tom, you go get Harry Potter, dudes.
I'm not a Harry Potter
dude. You're not a Harry Potter dude?
I know the first one.
The fourth Harry Potter book is what?
The Phoenix?
No. The word fire has to be in the answer. Andrew.
That'll be the Goblet of Fire, my man.
Are you a Harry Potter man?
Yes. Read every book. Seen every movie 1,000 times, believe it or not.
Little Andrew Saltunis.
Yeah, the only books I've ever read in my life.
First book. How old were you? First Harry Potter book.
That's a good question. What, 2000 it came out? So I must have been 7.
It came out that long ago?
Because the kids from the movies are all grown now.
Look at Saltunis going literate.
No, 97.
97 was the first book.
97?
So I was 4, so I probably didn't read it for a couple of years. Yeah, but
you're probably 7 or 8 when you started reading
it. What was the first one called?
The Sorcerer's Stone. But originally it was called the Philosopher's Stone, but they thought that philosophy would be not cool for kids, so they had to change it.
Look at you, man. I like that.
Can't tell you anything about our history in this country, but I can tell you about Harry Potter.
And that's okay. At least you were reading something and you're getting your mind engaged with the literature of J.K. Rowling.
You're damn right.
All right, let's go, Brian in North Philly. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Brian?
I'm going to make a couple of comments and be quick. Mm-hmm. You make Sandra Bullock sound like Phyllis Diller.
No, I said she's an attractive woman. To me, she's a 6.5. To others, she's an 8. They like the girl next door look. She didn't do anything for me.
Okay. I agree with you with the Brett Brown not pulling Embiid after the first couple of minutes because I watched the game. But unlike football, where you can sign a contract and get cut, most of the players run the team. So the star players know that they run the team. Basketball, baseball, hockey. So even though Brett Brown should have done that, he didn't. And my question
So were you thinking the same thing the first 3 minutes of that game? You're going, what is this?
Well, like I said, unlike football, the star athletes run the team. So you, even though the right thing to do was to pull and be, he can't.
What would Popovich have done?
Well, he's not Popovich.
Well, why can't he beat Popovich for a night? And go, listen, what's the worst that's going to happen if he took him out of the game and said to him nicely, all right, let me know when you're ready to play. And what would harm would that have done?
Well, technically it wouldn't have done any harm, but in Embiid's mind, he's getting showed up.
No, he wouldn't. And because he thought that, then that when he brings him back in the game, he'd want to show his coach to bust his rear end.
In a perfect world, Mike.
All right.
I want a general knowledge question.
Okay, here you go. These are 20th century history questions.
Okay.
All right. 1999, this international currency was introduced.
1999.
This international currency was introduced in 1999.
I'm going to go with the Deutsche Mark.
That is incorrect. It was the euro. In fact, Italy jumped on board, I believe.
Oh, they've jumped on with the euro?
The board got rid of the lira.
Oh, man. Although the conversion rate's a lot easier with the euro than the lira.
So I just was here to find out if there's any houses to rent in Tuscany. C. Disa one. 20 million a lira.
Yes. Because of the maestro.
I'm looking for somebody named Cheech. See, I'm a Cheech. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, it's 2:47. I just made a list in my head of brown hair girls, since your theory is that I only like blondes.
It's not a theory.
It's absolutely not true, because I just rattle off like 15 of them.
I'm interested in this list.
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
See, I'm out on Garner.
Jessica, you're out on Garner. What?
Always have been.
A beautiful woman.
I mean, she... wait, come on, man. The first one was who? Angelina Jolie is ahead of Sandra Bullock. Garner's not.
Emily Blunt.
No, not ahead.
Stop it. Jessica Biel.
Yeah, she's ahead.
Megan Fox, Olivia Wilde. Boom, boom.
Both strong.
Jennifer Connelly, back in the day.
Nah. Nice
Come
eyebrows,
on,
nice features behind
Sandra. I'm giving you all the brunettes here.
You are?
These are all top notch.
Right.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Wait, no.
No.
Flag on that one. She's been blonde. She's been too many different hair colors. Flag on Lawrence.
Mila Kunis.
Strong.
just off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's a good one. Like
so
Kunis.
Don't pigeonhole me, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear
See,
you.
See, Sandra doesn't get a sniff over anybody I just mentioned.
I disagree with that, Mike, but I hear your list, and at least they're not all the exact same. So I'm proud of you. I don't think you would pick them over Margot Robbie, for example.
See, if you're looking,
any of them.
If you're looking girl next door, well, no, I wouldn't pick her. Charlize Theron, Margot Robbie. You'd have to do some.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Well, but no, I might. I might, though. Jennifer Garner's an all-timer for me.
Really?
Yes. Jessica Biel and Emily Blunt?
Well, Jessica Biel.
Oh, man.
Blunt. Could be the British.
Now, I can make a whole sister list as well, if you want me to, that I would prefer over Jennifer.
No, we're good.
Over, you know.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, all right. Sandra Bullock. See, Sandra goes to the bottom of that list I just gave you.
All right, Mike.
We got the Google images up here.
We're looking.
The ultimate girl next door looks Jennifer Garner.
Okay, because of the smile. Okay.
Just straight out beautiful.
Young Andrew is right. We looked up the Google images.
What? I got right in front of me.
Of what? Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
All through the years. Strong, Mike. You're not giving her credit.
Different hairstyles, too.
She just does it. You know, when you fish and you have the bobber on top. She's not the bobber for me. She sinks. She's the sinker. She's not the bobber.
Secrets.
Go to Jay in Germantown. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Jay?
Call here.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, a couple quick points about the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
In watching the game last night, I didn't really judge the previous game because Embiid didn't play. But the first half last night was probably the sloppiest first half I've seen.
Horrible basketball. And as a coach, you got to get control of that horrible basketball.
I totally agree. The discipline is way off. It's like they're not communicating on the court. My question is this team too talented for Brett Brown to coach?
No. If they were that talented, they would have shown up last night, and their talent alone would have won that game. They allowed themselves to get trapped in the circumstance of playing a bad team. And if I'm the coach, there's a timeout. All right, this is not going to happen tonight, fellas. This is not going to happen. We need to rail this team. So this lazy play, this careless passing, not going to happen now. Let's go.
I totally agree. But if you previous games, you look at Brett Brown, and once the team goes on a run, once they get it to like four, he'll call a timeout. I'm thinking if you have a 14-point lead, they cut it to 10, you call a timeout.
He has done that in the past, though. He's made timeout calls like that when he feels they're not. But see, the beginning of this game had disaster written all over it. And you could tell they came out with absolutely no energy, bored that they were playing the Cleveland Cavaliers. At that time, you got to grab your team like it's a bowl of Play-Doh.
I agree. I just don't think he's that guy.
That's what he's got to be. I can only say what he's got to be, because last night I was ready to call timeout. I was ready to drive to the arena to call timeout. No, fellas. This is not happening against this team.
Yeah, I 100% agree, and they need to get together because the playoffs are rolling around. So,
all right, Jay, you want a general knowledge question? It happens to be Tyrone's favorite actress, Sandra Bullock. Here's the question. A scientist is trapped in space after her space shuttle is destroyed by space debris.
Wow. Oh, wow. The movie with George Clooney. I can't remember the name.
That's what it was.
Interstellar?
Oh, no. It's Gravity. Gravity with George Clooney.
I actually didn't see that.
I didn't either.
Don't watch it. It was terrible. I'm telling you right now. Terrible movie.
I got to be honest with you on this. When she's in a movie, I have no interest in watching it.
So,
not only do I think she's not that attractive, I don't think she's a great actress.
You know, do you just hate her?
No, I don't hate her. It's just that she doesn't have any impact on me.
So did you see the
blind? As an actress or a
okay,
attractive woman.
Did you see The Blind Side? Did you?
No, I didn't actually see The Blind Side.
Well, she won the Academy Award for that.
I saw clips of it, and I saw the way she looked. She was an attractive mom. She was definitely an attractive mom.
I'm shifting over to the acting part.
I saw her in A Time to Kill when in her early days when she was, you know, Matthew McConaughey.
She was good in that.
Yeah, she's all right.
Now you're slandering her craft. So you're saying she's not that pretty and not that talented.
I don't think she's that talented an actress. No, I don't.
Andrew
doesn't think so either.
Well, no, she did a good job in The Bird Box, the recent one on Netflix.
I didn't see The Bird Box.
It's a pretty good movie.
And what about in the action thriller that is Speed? She was good in that action thriller role.
That's a double dip non-watch for me.
Well, because
Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. My head would go backwards from the screen.
Keanu was the weak spot.
610-632-0975. We roll into the what did Booney say? Gardner is Dollar Tree Sandra Bullock. What? You've got to be kidding me. First of all, he's saying, Jennifer Gardner. Oh, yeah. No. Absolutely not. We can take a vote of people that call this show, and Jennifer Gardner will destroy Sandra Bullock.
You know, I'm going to do a second Twitter poll.
Go ahead. Do that second Twitter
poll. During this commercial break. Second Twitter poll.
Come on, man. Those commercials she does for that credit card, she looks sensational in those commercials.
And she's attractive. I don't have anything bad to say about her the way you slander poor Sandy.
You got Jennifer Gardner right here. You got Sandra Bullock. Do you take Sandra Bullock?
We'll let the people decide.
All right. 610-632-0975. Back into this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.